We have an award show, another Shattered Dreams production, the GM in a sinful relationship, and where is Braun? It's Raw After Balls right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hurry up and get in the closet, she said. Don't you make a sound, or some shit is going down. I said, why don't I just go out the window? Yes, except for one thing, we on the fifth.
There's a whole episode tonight. He's trapped in the closet. Because Kurt Angle is trapped in the closet, y'all. The closet. We don't know what's happening, but it's coming out next week. And I know no one agreed that we should do Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly to kick off the show, and I think it was the perfect decision by me, in my humble opinion.
It feels right.
It does.
All 33 chapters?
Let's do it.
We're gonna nail it down.
Let's do a marathon. Yeah. Markia, I know you're into it.
Keep it running.
Yes. Welcome to the next 3 hours.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Raw After Show at AfterBuzz TV. We got the new squad in the house. This is historic, almost as much as calling it Great Balls of Fire. So let's get into it. I'm at Jay Quasto, Johnny LaQuasto here with you. The lady to my left, you see her here every single week. You can find her on Marvel Movie News. You can find her on Screen Junkies. You can find her on Twitter at Markia McCarty, because she's Markia McCarty.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I love that intro. Feeling it.
What's happening?
Yes, Raw After Balls.
Raw After Balls it is.
Raw After Balls.
And
Hashtag Raw After Balls.
Raw After
Hashtag
Balls.
Raw After Balls.
We should have counted how many times we say that this episode. anyway, so one of these gentlemen you are very, very familiar with. The other you might be a little bit. And so let's get to the intros. That man right there, you've seen him on Comedy Central. He's a director at Second City. He's also working on a short film with the great Rocky Romero that I'm very grateful to be in. Find him on Twitter at Mark Warzeka. He's Mark Warzeka.
Of all the nights to start, the Raw After Balls is magical.
I know.
It's so good to be here.
It's amazing. And that man right there, he is a former Hollywood Heritage Champion and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, a professional wrestler of over 8 years. He's worked for Raw, for SmackDown, for NXT, for many other promotions. Find him on Twitter at True Hobo. He is the Hobo.
You know, I sound pretty ridiculous sometimes, but I've got the knowledge to back up sounding the way that I do. I'm out of my mind, and I sound like it, but it's all sane. It's all coming from a place of a deep well of knowledge.
No one's accusing you of sounding strange.
People
no
do.
One.
I got a guy. I did the after show last night for Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls.
But this
my
is Raw
balls
After Balls. This
are
is
particularly Raw,
right?
Because I did it then, I'm doing it now.
So this is
but
Raw After Balls.
Somebody comments on the YouTube, they say, you sound like Dr. Teeth from The Muppets. I'm like, I get that a lot. I don't know why.
Sure. Well, part of it was the fact that your teeth used to not be as fixed as they are now,
yeah.
And I think that just changes the way the esophagus works. That's just my guess.
No. It was a bike accident when I was a kid. I caught the handlebars right across, crushed my trachea, paralyzed the vocal cord.
Oh, and the larynx had an issue.
Yeah, I've sounded like this since from about 8 years old on.
Wow. So life has never been easy for you.
Never.
Was that in the railroad tracks as well?
No, that was a pothole on the street. Didn't live in a good part of town, Hoboken, New Jersey. Not the nicest place in the world. Not the nicest roads in the world. Had a bike. Broke the bike. Crushed my larynx. You know, it was a good childhood. I don't regret anything.
But you know what? You persevered.
I did. I've been a champion.
And here you are.
Been everywhere.
It's Raw After Balls.
Raw After Balls.
Well, don't you worry about what anyone says about your voice, because I got your back. Mark's got your back. Markia's got your back.
I got your
back. We'll take them all.
And you know who else has your back? The man on the ones and twos, Mark B. Donica.
I've got your back, Hobo.
We got three Marks in the house? This is insane.
There's a lot of Marks.
Mark.
Almost four. Mark. There's a lot of them, as a matter of fact. Well, first off, before we get into Raw, overall thoughts on Great Balls of Fire. I gotta be honest, I enjoyed the heck out of it. I had to watch it very, very late at night. We had a championship wrestling taping, and I didn't get home till like midnight-ish. But I thought it was fantastic. You know, start to finish, I thought it was a really good show.
Yeah, I thought they really hit it with that inaugural, you know? I mean, if it wasn't Bad Blood, it was Great Balls of Fire.
They lit the balls on fire. Attempted murder on the first Great Balls of Fire. I mean, you're going to...
Yeah.
Memorable, right?
Right.
Yes.
Memorable.
There was Bad Blood at Great Balls of Fire.
Low expectation yields great results. Nobody thought this was going to be a good deal. Great Balls of Fire, everybody was laughing their pants off at this. They delivered. They thought themselves, this is stupid. This is a stupid name.
Right.
Lean into it. own the stupid name and deliver.
And they did it.
They did it. If even with the t-shirts and with the emblem for it, it was two balls on fire.
It was not subtle.
No,
it was not subtle.
It was very apparent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jerry Lee Lewis would be very proud. Maybe he still
he's
is.
Still alive.
Yeah. He's still alive. I'm sure he's thrilled about it.
I'm not trying to kill Jerry Lee Lewis. I didn't know for sure, and so I'm glad that maybe he enjoyed it last night.
Yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed it. I'm sure he enjoyed it the first time when he wrote the song about loving his cousin, you know? Yeah, well, cousin loving yields some great things sometimes.
That was an unholy reunion there.
Wait, what?
Union,
that's what that song's about?
Jerry Lee Lewis, well, he married a cousin.
Goodness gracious.
He married a 13-year-old cousin. Let's not
get
a 13-year-old cousin.
He's from the South. It's a little bit different.
Yeah,
hey, already Hobo's delivering the knowledge for me. So.
That's true. I've been around.
There you go.
The more you know. Where's the rainbow? Give me a rainbow.
Ding, ding, ding. All I can imagine is the kids in high school, they're like, oh, you're gonna get us some alcohol. We're going to figure this out. And just like bandaging your face up and sending you in the store.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man.
Of course, I'll buy him a nice IPA, and then all the kids will be real mad at me. We can't drink this. Good, give me. I'll go on my way. Made a few dollars, bought him some good beer that I don't appreciate. It's my beer now. It's not illegal. It's a lesson in life.
No one can't say you don't have a plan. That's for sure.
That's right. I am dog chasing cars.
As far as Great Balls of Fire goes, I actually was excited about the card. How could you go wrong with Joe versus Lesnar? That was as good as advertised.
Oh, wow.
And also, Roman versus Braun. These two have a chemistry. I don't care what you feel about Roman Reigns. It can't be denied. These two are incredible together. And then, of course, Enzo and Cass. I thought the way Cass just systematically destroyed Enzo, it was the right thing. I thought it was the way it should have been. You know, like that's what would happen if a 7-footer goes up against a 5'7" guy who's half his weight.
Poor Enzo. Everybody is wondering where Strowman was tonight. What about Enzo? But we may never see him again.
I don't know. What do you think, Hobo?
It was heartbreaking to see.
It was.
The promo that Enzo was able to cut before that match.
So good.
Oh, Enzo is completely... completely aware of the spot that he holds in that company and his lack of ability. He knows that if he can't string together at least a couple of wins here, he's going to be out of a job. And so that was his plea to the audience last night. Before that match, he was pleading with them, please, please believe in me. Please come with me. I really need you for this one. And they came with him. They love him.
Yep.
You can't help but love him. What an underdog.
Maybe Enzo can manage Big Show, since Big Show and Cass started a few tonight on Raw, right? I mean, Big Show could be his rebound relationship, because he's heartbroken.
He likes...
He's heartbroken after the Big Cass breakup.
Yeah, that match for me between Big Cass and Enzo was kind of like, you know, your Incredible Hulk fist that you have. Your Hulk hands, and then like having a little troll doll, and then just seeing what happens. That was that entire match for me.
Yeah, poor Enzo.
And also, look, Enzo can be a manager for many years to come for multiple different people. So, you're right. He had his moment before the match, and then Cass destroyed him. And also, as a physical therapist, if you're double jointed, don't do what Alexa Bliss did. Don't. It made everyone feel uncomfortable. I don't know how it made her arm feel, but not a good move.
Yeah.
Brilliant, though.
She did it before, but it was more subtle. And people were like, oh, did she mean to do that? Was that an accident? Is she injured? And then last night, she answered the question in perpetuity. I can do this, and I can hurt you.
Look, I love it. I would have preferred to see something that crazy at like a really big pay-per-view instead of a countdown.
It made Great Balls even greater.
That's true.
It was the inaugural event.
Yeah.
Have to bring it.
So this was the Raw after Balls. And
yes,
we have to get into it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the aforementioned Big Cass, he hits the ring to kick off the show. How you doing, he says. He shows highlights of everything he did to Enzo last night. He said, but no one is allowed to get on the bandwagon now. He's going to be the Universal Champion, the face of the WWE, and nobody can look him in the eyes. For everyone who says that Big Cass looks like he can't figure out what to say next, I thought this was actually really solid for him. Hobo, you don't agree?
No, I'm disagreeing with the disagreeers.
Oh, there you go.
In NXT, we saw him on his own. There was a time when he could not come out with Enzo Amore. Enzo broke his foot. They were still a team. There wasn't a split, but he had to go on his own. He was forced then to find himself. So we knew, thus on the NXT team, we knew what he was capable of. No, he goes out there. He knows exactly what he's doing. He can talk on that mic, and he can kick people in the face. He's very good at both of them. But the whole problem with this thing is nobody wants to hear a guy gloat about kicking his best friend's ass, especially when you side with the other party. It's like a divorce. You know, you don't want to see the other spouse, but if they gloat about it, well, then you want to see him in a coffin.
Nakia?
I thought that this was absolutely perfect. I mean, the way that this felt, the flavor of it was spot on, basically. This is the big cast that I want, especially that this split is happening. And then what are they going to do about those Funko Pop exclusive? Those are coming out in August.
Well, I'll tell
those
you what.
That's going to be sad.
It's a good thing that family went with them to Universal Studios before the breakup. Otherwise, it would have been really awkward.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah. No, but I didn't know Big Cass as well from NXT, so I was, I won't say delightfully surprised, because I've seen bits of this as it's gone on with Raw, but it was just, it was so well done, it was so spot on, that it felt like this is the way that it's been the entire time. And I think that's the biggest compliment that I can say for this promo.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Big Cass said nobody could look him in the eyes, but Warzeka, your boy... The Big Show, the new conscience of the WWE.
Hey, somebody's got to be the conscience at all times.
I guess so.
He hits the ring to the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. I like this whole segment. I agree with you guys. I thought Cass was really good. Really good solo. I like that his promo was fairly short as far as Raw opening segments go.
Right.
Short and sweet. He hit his points. I love him moving on past Enzo quickly. Bring out the Big Show. This is a great role for Big Show, I think, to be there as a big veteran to put Cass over eventually in this feud and let him level up. I liked the whole thing. I thought it was a good start to the show.
You feel like Enzo and him are already just kaputs?
Oh, I think they're, yeah.
Wow.
I think that's it.
I think that was a squash yesterday.
Bad. Yeah.
Oh my God, you don't come back from a beating
like that.
What's Enzo got?
He got a Big Show headbutt.
Yeah.
That's like a special favor.
Next up for Enzo might be 205 Live.
I mean, actually, you might be right.
Yeah.
I mean, he does fit the mold, and I don't know. What else is he going to do?
Or maybe legitimately manage or be a mouthpiece for some of these other guys that Cass is going to feud with? I mean, maybe he is in Big Show's corner for part of this feud. But I think this is not going to be a long feud with Enzo and Cass. I think they blew it off last night, squashed him, and Cass is moving on.
Wow. That's surprising, but I see your point. Maybe the GM of 205 Live. Is there one? I don't think there is.
I don't think there... Well, I guess there could be.
Right?
Potentially, there could be.
Just putting it out there.
There's a GM of NXT, and that's an hour show. 205's an hour show, so
hey.
All right. Yeah. Okay, I guess it could work.
Create the position for him. That could work.
Yep. So Big Show attacks. Cass runs away. Up next, Elias Sampson wants to sing everybody a song about Finn Balor. No one ever lets him finish a song, and I'd be interested to know if he ever writes a finish to a song, because we never hear it.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a professional. He's got a full song. You know? He's prepared for everybody to walk that journey with Elias.
How long are these songs that he's writing? Who knows? They could be 17 minutes long.
They could be 33 chapters.
Stairway to Heaven every time, and he never gets to finish it.
Yeah.
He should post all the completed ones online. He should.
That's a good.
That's the best way to do it. Just put it up. Let people buy it.
Put it on YouTube.
Let the market decide.
I'm Elias Sampson. Please visit my SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Go to MySpace. MySpace is for music, so they say.
Yeah.
Maybe Elias Sampson should have a MySpace.
Mm-hmm. You could download this song for 99 cents off iTunes. Thank you. That'd be great.
Yeah. Was it just me, or was Texas kind of on board with it this time?
Yeah, a little bit.
They got a soft spot for a man and a guitar,
yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, that's right.
So Finn Balor interrupts and they have a match. And, you know, Elias Sampson has been, I think, impressive. I mean, I thought this match, he was in control for most of it. Of course, Finn ends up getting the best of him with the coup de grace. But I don't know. I mean, I think Elias Sampson, it's safe to say him on the main roster, way more successful than what we saw in NXT.
I can't disagree.
Yeah.
He could barely string together two wins. He just could not find himself in NXT, but obviously they saw something in him up on the main roster that they figured they could do something with, so they called him up before he was able to arguably have any success.
I mean, just looking at him, he looks like a star, Mark. I mean, the guy's huge.
Yeah. I'll admit, I did not see him much in NXT, but wasn't he the Drifter? Didn't he, like, wander around the arena and stuff? And that's what he first did on Raw.
Yeah.
But now he's found where to go. He's just in the middle of the ring. And so they kind of went away from the Drifter. They drifted away from the Drifter gimmick, I guess, right?
He still
No, they were still referencing that on commentary. Michael Cole was telling the story of how he has a scar on his elbow, Elias Sampson does, and he got it from a bar fight when he was hitchhiking to see a Clapton show, I think it was.
Whoa.
So he's still the Drifter. He's still got those stories and that background.
Yep.
And it works in his favor. I mean, if you fight on the streets, you're going to be able to fight in the ring. Mm. You just have to be aware of the rules. That, me, personally, I like rules. I fight on the street, and that's a little bit harder because you can get stabbed
anything. There's no rules in the streets.
Right, but in the ring, there are rules. And I like the fact that I know somebody's not going to pull a sharpened toothbrush out and try and disembowel me over, you know, trying to just get some
money. That was one time, Hopo. Yeah. One time.
She already apologized for it.
I apologized so many times, Johnny.
Yeah. It was in the studio. Like, that's uncalled for.
I was really hoping you guys wouldn't bring this up.
I was way not prepared.
I know.
I didn't realize it was you from behind.
Yeah, and it looks like a C-section scar now. It's weird. Anyways, as Finn Balor leaves the ring, the Hardys show up, and they say they're not going anywhere and get interrupted. Actually, we'll let them enjoy the music for a couple seconds.
Too late, Hardy. Put it out.
Okay. Well, they get interrupted by... Gallows and Anderson say, what do they say? They're not the good, the Hardy Boys of old. They're the old Hardy Boys.
Yeah, harsh. Yeah. That's harsh.
Calls them nerds. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nerds.
He called them nerds. It's like, come on, it's wrestling. We're all here for wrestling, and now there's,
we're
a nerd.
All so nerds.
Like, yes, we're all nerds.
But, I'm not a nerd.
But first things first, we all know that. I don't know if anything has happened with the legal issue with Anthem or something, but this was by far the most broken Hardy references we have ever seen. Now, I don't know if this is something they were supposed to not do on live television. They talked about fading away, being obsolete. We may be a little bit broken. Yeah. I forget what other terminology they used, but it was a lot, and it was heavy, and it was amazing, but I'm like,
Has got to be it. This has got to be them going to the broken gimmick. Between them using all that language and then getting squashed by two other teams back-to-back on the roster, this has got to be... They must have gotten the rights to it. It's got to be... Because this is similar to what happened in TNA.
Or they might just be calling Anthem's bluff and be like, yeah, just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
What you going to do?
Yeah, maybe they're just like, sue us.
Seriously. We'll settle. It's worth it. Like, the Hardys have already made... in 3 months, they've already done so many big numbers that it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I just loved it. Every reference they threw out there, I was like, oh my God, this is happening? Okay.
If this isn't happening, stop teasing me. I can't stand the teasing.
It was a big
tease. Want it already.
I love the
audience
is on board.
Be broken.
They were like, delete.
Yeah.
It was really great. And anyway, so yeah, Gallows and Anderson come down, and the match didn't even last very long, and next thing you know, bam, Magic Killer for the win, and Jeff does not come back in to make the save in time. So big win for Gallows and Anderson, which they desperately needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I can't remember the last time they won something.
No.
It's been a little bit.
So the question is, what other teams could challenge Sheamus and Cesaro right now on the Raw roster?
Either one of those teams now, but maybe the Revival.
But the Hardys are the only face team. Not like it matters anymore, but what other face tag teams are there? There's none.
I think people like Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
In contrast to the Revival. The Revival, especially tonight, they came in, blew past Gallows and Anderson, and just decided to clean the bones of the Hardys. Mm. They didn't even want the guys who won. They wanted the guys who lost. That's how low the Revival is. They've always been like that. They'll take cheap shots at a man who's down on the floor than take a swing at somebody standing.
And they did that tonight.
They're garbage. Mm. They're the worst kind of humans.
Right, but
it works for them, and that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, they win.
Sure.
They still manage to win because there are no depths that they will not sink to.
So do you
Nothing
think,
is out of bounds.
Do you think that the Revival are the next team to put the Hardys down to get them even further, closer to being broken? That would make sense, wouldn't it, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, but it may have already happened tonight. Like, that might have been it, right?
I feel like it's a quick broke. Marquis, wouldn't want to see it, like, a little bit more drawn out, like some more brokenness?
I want an epic journey. I want
there
it
you
to
go.
Be...
Combine two
be
words.
Like, yeah, I want it to be, you know, like, think like Homeward Bound when you have the three animals.
Are you combining that to a yellow lab?
Sure.
I love it.
Make the dog play the piano. Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah.
Was it a yellow lab? I think
it just goes to the point. I think one was a collie. No. No, wait, no. I had a collie as a kid.
No, it was a yellow lab.
It was a Siamese.
A Siamese and a boxer.
And a boxer. Yeah. There we go. But yeah, let's say the boxer in the lab.
Yeah.
And yeah, they go through this whole journey. There's this whole part where they even fall into a trap, and oh, they're broken, they're hurt. There's nothing that can be done.
Chance.
There's nothing that can be done except they pull themselves up by their own paws. They do that, and then we feel it, and we've earned it, and we want it, and they make it home, and that's what I want with this. And I don't get that in one episode. I get that at SummerSlam. That's when I want it. And I want it to be this huge reveal, and it's like they can't help themselves, and they come out and they're broken. And that's how I want it.
What if they lose to the colognes? That's as low as they could go. That's got true. To break them. If they brought the colognes over to Raw and beat them.
I think the colognes only got three legs, so they're not even in the race.
Yeah, and they show up for a timeshare, and then it's not even available.
Oh,
that's
no.
what really
they
breaks
them. They get scammed on a Puerto Rican timeshare.
Yeah. By the way, I just need to give props. When you started this whole Homeward Bound thing, I was like, she's not going to pull this off. I'll be damned if you didn't pull that off.
I was there 100% all the way.
Yeah.
All the way.
I remember the movie, kind of, but I don't really remember all the animals. I thought there was a yellow lab involved. Maybe that was Old Yeller. I don't recall.
You know who did the voice?
Huh?
Don Ameche.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know things. Don Ameche, Michael J. Fox, and the cat was... was it Sally Field?
Sally Field.
See?
Of course it was Sally
Field. There you go.
Fields.
Wait, what year was Homeward Bound?
94.
It's 90s. I should know that. Darn. Sorry, guys.
It was all the drugs. It's okay. We forgive you.
Disappointed you? All right, guys. We have an award show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. And Mecha Baloney, dogs rule, cats drool.
There it is. Mecha Bologna. That's
Mecha
a pretty great Bologna. Name.
The chat is with you.
That's a pretty great name. Sam Green says, I thought Shadow was a golden retriever. It might be. It was a yellow dog.
It was a yellow, yellow dog. Yellow floppy ears, whatever. No.
Disappointed!
Right.
Thanks,
Kevin. I apologize.
Kevin.
It's an award show, y'all. The Mizzies giving out 3 awards. It's the shortest award show in the history of award shows, but nonetheless. Best Supporting Performances, actors, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel. Most Beautiful Woman, Maurice, and of course the Best Leading Man, The Miz. No upsets there.
I was hoping for another woman. Another woman just to spice it up a little bit.
No, he's not a dummy.
Yeah, were there other nominees? I'm not aware of the other nominees, but there must have been some, right?
Who was voting? Who's on the voting committee for this?
I really don't know.
You just get to win, I guess.
They should have had Steve Harvey announce it. It would have been different answers altogether.
That's true.
Yeah.
I will say I enjoyed Bo Dallas's acceptance speech. I like that. I like his look. The look that they have going on for him. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that you two know, I'm extremely biased for any of the IRS progeny.
Yes, you are.
So, that's just
gotcha.
Going to happen.
She loves
so
that
Ken Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
She loves that Bo Dallas looks like the roadie for the Mr. Raj.
Yeah, no, he does.
Well, I liked it a bit better when he was a bit more swamp rat and a little bit less hipster motorcycle bar.
Sure.
Well, he's the one who supplies the drugs, and then Axel handles all the money. You know, you gotta have a whole crew.
Well, and Axel does the taxes, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't know that was even in his wheelhouse.
He's not
good for you.
He's not the axe man, he's the tax man now. And it just works out. So anyways, he mentions that Seth Rollins is worthless. He doesn't like Ambrose, and Ambrose doesn't deserve anything else. Ambrose comes down. I love this. Ambrose doesn't say a word. Just attacks the Miz. They all start beating him up. Rollins makes the save. And, brief Shield reunion in this moment.
Extremely brief.
Yeah.
And 2 out of 3. But 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No? It was so short, the only music that could be gone was Sierra Hotel.
Yep.
Oh. Really dumb specific joke. Thank you for the pity laughs.
We got it. You have to explain the jokes to make them really work.
I will say this. The jokes that I don't get from Donaga, I still know are very good jokes.
Well, that's terrific.
So I appreciate them. I just wish I would get them.
That's all right.
Now, I know who Sierra is. I don't know the song Hotel. Is it not called Hotel?
Does anybody want to break it to him?
You're what he doesn't get?
Mark, you
don't
know.
No, I don't know. I don't
You're a father. I know you don't know this song at all.
I do not know.
Maybe you should just play the song for him.
I cannot.
Mark, whenever you get
here, here we go.
Sierra Hotel.
This.
Oh, thank you. Now I get it.
We still love it.
Sometimes you're just too smart for your own good.
Sierra Hotel.
Yeah.
It's the first part of the shield.
Yes.
I mean, if
you're both so pretty.
Yeah. We keep you around for the looks.
Well, I led Mark into that because I said Sierra the singer, and that's what I was thinking of immediately. I was like, maybe she's got a song called Hotel. Good stuff, guys.
Super song.
So after the commercial break, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins really enjoyed this segment to where Rollins said, you know, I was just trying to help out. Ambrose is like, I don't trust you. I don't like your face. Stay away from my face. We're not friends. We're not the Shield. I'm out. That's how this should have gone, in my opinion.
Rollins is toxic.
Yeah.
I don't believe this good guy thing for a second. All of the blood he shed... He's not anywhere near close to the good guy he's pretending to be.
Well, you don't trust him?
No, I trust Dean Ambrose. Well,
Dean Ambrose lays it all on the line. Mm-hmm. Mark, you would trust Rollins?
No, I wouldn't trust Rollins either. Eventually, he's going to turn on Dean Ambrose and hurt and break his heart like Cass did to Enzo.
So, yeah, so, of course. So then this segment is like, Ambrose is. I love Dean Ambrose. He's awesome.
But he said he made this bold statement, but then jumping ahead just for a second to the end of the show, he did come out and help him again. So what are we supposed to think?
Yeah.
Ambrose is emotionally torn.
Well, he wants to make sure that Rollins, he doesn't owe Rollins anything.
Maybe.
He came out to settle the score so that he doesn't have to come back later and say, hey, I saved you. Now you owe me something.
Now get out of my face.
Yeah, now it's like, we're even. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is interesting because... a lot of people feel this way. And then we saw in the main event, too, where is Seth Rollins right now? No one has any idea. This is a guy who needs to be broken worse than the Hardys, I think. Really. It's a very confusing
time. It's time to freshen up that character.
But what... I mean, he already had just an amazing run, you know, with the Authority that you couldn't really ask for it to be any better than it was. Mm. So what do you do now?
He doesn't ever seem to pay for the things he's done. You know, he never takes ownership like a man, in my opinion. Mm. All the crap he's pulled, he should begin every promo by saying, yeah, I know it's coming from me, but... That's how every promo should start, because you shouldn't believe anything he says. He's the architect. He's the one who pulled the trigger. He's the bad guy. He's the ultimate bad guy.
Yep.
So maybe he should either decide to stop trying to fool everybody, because you're not fooling anybody... or just lead into it and be a man and take your licks and stop thinking that you're the best cat on the block, because maybe
there's a lot
you
of cats.
Ain't that hot.
A lot of other cats out there.
Hmm.
Anyone else?
I honestly don't know what they could do with Rollins right now. I mean, yeah, it was a super solid run. And actually, I'll be completely honest, with everything else that happened with Great Balls of Fire and then with tonight's Raw, I'm okay with Rollins taking a kind of backseat while they discover what they want to do with him. And, you know, also keeping in mind, let's think of the weeks, like, leading up to Extreme Rules. They always had him out there. It was, like, him. It was Bray Wyatt. It was, you know, it was that Fatal Five. And it was just, like, I've seen a lot of him. I have. And now I'm happy to see Bray Wyatt, you know, winning. That's great.
Yeah, two nights in a row.
Fun with it.
Yeah.
So,
don't forget, when Rollins with the Authority, we had that run where every single Raw was opened up by 15 minutes of the Authority.
Yeah.
So
well.
Here we go. It's okay for him to take kind of a back seat now for them to reevaluate what they want to do and let other people shine.
It was interesting when they said the word Shield reunion, even though he was saying there's not going to be a Shield reunion, because these three guys are all on the same brand right now. You got to think at some point, even for just a match, they're going to put these guys together. But I don't expect a long run, but at some point you got to think they're going to go for it.
even for one night only, it would manage to fall apart. I think if you actually took Finn Balor and Seth Rollins and did a switcheroo and put them with each other's in each other's places, I think it would be great, actually. I think Seth Rollins and Samson would do all right, and I think Balor and Wyatt is made for money.
You would think that eventually was going to happen, but the one thing about this is, okay, if Seth Rollins is kind of in a lost situation, well, at least Bray Wyatt is finally getting the steam that we've all been waiting for. I mean, two victories in a row.
Waiting for forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, he lost so much on pay-per-view that it became a thing that people just knew about him, right? It's like, he never wins,
Bray Wyatt
ever.
Loses.
Yeah. And it was really hurting his character, I think. So these two back-to-back in an opener and then in a main event, two nights in a row, it still is good, two good wins for him.
It certainly is. After that, Sasha and Bayley in a tag team match taking on Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. And this match, it was fun. It had a decent amount of length, I guess. And Bayley ends up winning with the roll-up on Alexa Bliss. So Alexa Bliss has really become the champion who never, ever, ever wins, but still has a title.
Yeah,
but for her character, it works.
She's smart. She's like a rat. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, actually.
She won. Alexa Bliss last night won with a countout. She lost. She lost the match, kept the title, because she don't care. That's just the kind of champion that she is. She doesn't mind that it's her belt in name only, that she actually can't win a match to actually retain the belt, but it's still hers. She doesn't care. It's still in her possession.
I mean, I feel like eventually, I'm not going to compare her to Shawn Michaels or anything, but the Nia Jax Alexa Bliss thing, it's reminiscent of Shawn Michaels and Diesel. Shawn Michaels could win matches, but Alexa, she's very small in stature, but with how devious she is, she's pulling her arms out of joints to get the advantage. Like, she's willing to do whatever it takes, and that's something that's really impressive. Like, the way she screams at referees, she does a lot of these subtleties to where you could tell, like, how much she learned over the past, like, 3 years.
Yeah, agreed. She came a long way. She's a great character now. I really enjoy her on the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed that moment where she's running full tilt at Bayley in the corner, and then she just stops and slaps her.
Oh,
my God.
That's great heel stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's great heel stuff.
That's the sort of stuff we saw from Alexa Bliss down in NXT. Granted, she didn't hold the championship in NXT, but you could tell when she was in that ring, she was 100% committed to the goal, and the goal was to eke out a victory. Not a solid win. Never a solid win. But win by any means necessary.
Yeah.
And that is what she's brought here. Small in stature, but big in brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. So moving on, that was the only female segment of the night. Afterwards, we have a Shattered Dreams production. Tonight's going to be the sequel. We have a Reservoir Dogs quote.
That didn't have a sequel.
No, it did not.
No.
That would have been terrible.
It would be tough to do.
That would be really tough.
How would you do that? Who's left alive? Yeah. Are just a whole new Mr.
Spoiler Wednesday. Alert. They all die, everybody.
Goes. Oh, no, that was since, like, what, 92? And I know that because of Shattered Dreams Productions.
How about Ghost Reservoir Dogs?
Yes.
All right.
That's just a sequel to Ghost Dog.
Yeah. Or Ghost Dad, starring a new lead, for God's sake.
Why? What's wrong with the old one?
He's not looking.
I don't think he really looks our demographic.
Anything right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
anyways.
Half of the demographic, I don't think he works for.
Or more than half.
Yeah, maybe more.
More than half.
All of the demographic.
Let's just say all of it.
All of the demographic. For once, hobo speechless. Anyways, we have Goldust taking on R-Truth. And wow, Goldust, last time he was very underhanded in this match. Well, in the sequel, Goldust gets the win. I was really looking forward to these two having a pay-per-view match, but this might be similar to Enzo and Cass thing. Is this just going to end quickly, Marquia? I don't know.
They've been doing this for a little bit now, actually, with Shattered Dreams. We didn't get an R-Truth You Tell the Truth Productions. I forget the name of his because, you know, well, Goldust, because classic Goldust, and we've got Shattered Dreams. It's difficult for me to remember our Truth segments.
Yeah.
But I know that we didn't get one tonight. But it feels like when they first did this, like with Raw, I remember I was just like, why, Goldust? Why? And now there was, you know, this is a nice payoff that they've had with it. I'm still okay with them doing it a couple of more times, mm-hmm. but I want them to figure out a different way to go about this now. You know, if they're going to continue on this strain, then just give it to me in a different way.
What do you mean, no more Shattered Dreams?
No, we keep those.
Yeah, we got to keep
we
those.
We keep the Shattered Dreams productions.
We
got to
keep those.
But I mean,
what
just
about
like
the R-Truth segments where he quotes action movies from the 70s?
Those can stay too. But we didn't get one tonight, which is why I can't remember.
Well,
the last
I think
one
they're called not Cheddar Dreams Production.
Yeah,
reassembled well, Dreams Production.
And then keeping in mind, we didn't have a Raw last week, and then I was gone the week before that. I can't remember the
but,
name.
But you know, I was a little thrown that this match was sort of just thrown out there tonight. I was surprised that it was there because the videos have been so effective. And I wonder why this wasn't a more featured match. It was sort of just happening all of a sudden. Because I've enjoyed the build and the videos are really a blast.
Oh, yeah, they've also done some things with social media. Like on R-Truth's Twitter, he's like, I'm going to get you.
Yeah. He just says that.
Yeah, well, he's got his little minuets that he does. So.
The very first night when Goldust attacked him, a couple hours later, I remember he sent a tweet out strictly to Goldust. It just said, you better not let me see your ass.
That's great. That's great.
I'm kind of bummed he hasn't quoted Dolomite yet, but then again, I don't think he can quote Dolomite because there's too many cuss words.
Well, Brock Lesnar's setting the precedent tonight, so you never know.
Yeah, that was something, huh?
Yeah. Because, you know, I felt really... we're going to talk about that part, but I felt really anxiety when they were in the ring and then they were, you know, giving their all and everything. And it was like, Brock, I was like, Brock, you know this is all part of it, right? You know this is all part of it. Don't snap, dude. Don't snap. Now is not the time. Because all I could see is just him being like, you know what? Belt down.
Oh, snap.
Belt down and then just on. Joe. Mm-hmm. Oh, because he's kind of like that pit bull that you see, and it's like such a sweet pit bull, but then you wonder one day.
There's nothing sweet about Brock Lesnar.
No.
And nobody in that ring was sweet. Not even Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is arguably the sweetest one, and he is just noted for being sour as hell.
Mm. I wasn't calling Brock Lesnar sweet. I was saying that sweet pit bull that you see in life in general. But because pit bulls get a certain reputation that you always wonder.
But Brock Lesnar deserves the reputation that he has. Mm-hmm.
But I meant like today's the day, not just for, you know, wrestling, that today's the day that he would snap.
Just
and
in life.
UFC would come into that ring.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there like, oh, God, no.
Okay.
Lesnar's a Rottweiler on a leash and Heyman's holding it. The question is, how tight is Heyman's grip? That's always the question.
And is the leash gonna break?
Yeah.
Will it be a broken leash?
Broken Leash Productions.
That's it. So backstage, Kurt Angle is on the phone. He's very concerned, and Corey Graves walked up to him. He said, hey, you got the text I got, right? And he's like, oh, I'm gonna lose my family over this. Next week I have to go public. And Graves, it was very strange in how Graves delivered it, almost as if he's like a soothsayer or like he, I don't know. He says, I have all the confidence in the world. Everything will be just fine. And Angle looked very sweaty and nervous, Mark.
Mm. I love that next week he has to go to public with it. Like, there's not a, like, there's no way somebody has to tell Kurt about Twitter.
Yeah.
There's ways you could go public, Peach. There's no real reason given except for it has to happen next week during Raw that I would go public with this.
This whole thing, I love the fact that it's been a little bit drawn out, but wow, is it weird. Angle's been GM for essentially 3 months, and already he's caught up in some kind of weird triangle.
Yeah, a love triangle with him and Corey Graves and somebody that he loves on the phone.
And maybe it's Corey as well. I don't know.
It's got genuine intrigue, which is not something we've had as of late. So to have genuine intrigue kind of draws you in. You're like, what is it that I don't know? Because they tell you everything. Sure. They literally, they're not a moment goes by that they aren't trying to feed you some kind of information. So the fact that you don't know something actually stands out.
Well, there's someone in chat roll saying that it's Dixie. No, it's not going to be Dixie.
You know what? I hope that they just bring Dixie by next week to promote the WWE 24, and just so that she's there for a night. And it has nothing to do with the announcement.
Now, wasn't that airing tonight, though, Mark?
Yeah, it airs tonight, but just to be like, hey, thanks again for having me in for your special that aired on the WWE Network. Oh, no problem. It's just happy to see you again. All right, see you around.
Sure, maybe. I mean, another thing that this might be way off, but Stephanie?
I don't want it to be Stephanie. I don't want it to be Stephanie. We don't need to go down that route. Don't do it. We don't need it. And then plus Kurt is doing just fine, you know, in GM. Yes, we can have Kamish come in, you know, throw her weight around a little bit, and that would be great. But I don't want it to be because of a love triangle thing. I don't want.
What do you think it is? He said, "I love you."
If it's Stephanie, does it mean he loves Stephanie? He secretly has loved Stephanie. Love triangle between Kurt, Stephanie, and Triple H. How about that?
Don't want it. Don't want it. I'm not here for it.
I mean, everybody's jumping to the most extreme conclusion. It's love triangle. I don't think that's it.
But he talked about losing his family over this, and then we'll get to what happens at the end of the episode. It certainly feels like there is some kind of things going on that would not be approved of by his family, as well as the general public.
Who was he talking to?
Trash TV.
If it wasn't Dixie, Claire Lynch.
Oh, well.
Got to be Claire Lynch.
Oh, no, wait.
What? No. you suddenly remembered Claire Lynch.
I think I remember her. Was she the Daniel Bryan one?
No.
No.
She was on TNA. She was the AJ Styles one.
AJ Styles, I'm pregnant one. Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes.
Who was the Daniel Bryan one? The one
that lasted like 1 week.
Yes.
I can't remember her name, but it was like a masseuse or something, right? That lasted like a week.
Yeah. Oh, Claire Lynch. That was rough.
I'm tireless Thursday. No, yeah.
At that moment, that was the moment where you could see in AJ Styles' eyes, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta, there's gotta be more for me somewhere.
Yeah, there's more than this. How fast can I get to Japan? Please. Wow. What? I can't believe you remembered her name. I'm so proud of you for that.
The high TNA reference there.
Woo! Tozawa and Cedric Alexander taking on Noam Dar and Neville. Now, this kind of, not a repeat, it's almost the opposite of what happened last night. This time, Tozawa gets Neville hung up to dry and then hits that massive senton, which is super fun. He gets the win. So it looks like Tozawa's chances are still going to continue, Mr. Hobo.
And Dar and Alexander still seem to have kind of a hot issue. Whatever. Yeah,
I quit match tomorrow night, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow.
205 Live.
Wow. That'll be wild.
I'll predict it now. Noam Dar will quit.
You just do not believe in him.
I don't.
At least he's going to quit for him, bro.
Or something like that. Something's going to happen on that, you know, on that round. And it's fine. It's working for him. This character, this like weaselly little character, is like, yes, I stand by my woman. I can't do the accent.
Yeah.
But no, he's not going to win. He's not going to win that match.
They must have something in mind that's going to involve Alicia. Why would they book this particular stipulation of an I Quit match? Sort of a weird choice for a cruiserweight stipulation, right? You'd think it would go, because I Quit match, you think more grounded, grueling, brutal, rather than, you know, cruiserweight stipulation, you might think Ultimate X match, something that they can flip around more, right? So they've got to have something in mind storyline-wise that I bet is going to involve Alicia.
You would think, I mean, there's only a couple storylines happening right now in 205 Live. Obviously, Brian Kendrick is now kind of going after Jack Gallagher. Mm. Unfortunately, Aries left this past week.
Yeah.
So,
quit or was fired? Question mark? We're not really sure, I don't think.
He seems perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, more power to him if that was the decision he made. But yeah, 205 Live, we all want to see it. We want to go up here.
I think the I Quit match actually favors Dar. Dar is more technically sound. He's a ground guy. He's a British wrestler. British wrestlers know how to manipulate body parts better than your average wrestler. I think this actually is in his favor, and he has the better chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's my analysis.
There you go. Well, time to get to the main event. Seth Rollins taking on Bray Wyatt. But first things first, Rollins has something to say backstage. He's going to show that Bray Wyatt's a coward. And he's going to show that last night meant nothing. But then, derp! Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt says, how dare you defy me? I'm everywhere, Seth. I'm everything. So go on, Kingslayer. I promise that you'll never deny me. I'm coughing. I promise you'll never deny me again. You will burn. I'm here. And that leads into our main event, y'all. Take it away, Mark.
If I had a lighter, I would have lit it just then for you.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. I was hurting.
We talked a little bit about this before, but it was odd to see this be the opening match of the pay-per-view yesterday, and then the main event, the rematch of the main event of Raw tonight. They got to go a little longer tonight. It was a better match tonight. And as we said, great that Bray could win two in a row. Good. Yeah. Hopefully they're going to get him rolling. Yep. I think it's always kind of felt like that character's not quite yet fulfilled its awesome potential. And so I hope that Bray's going to get on the right track here. Because I think there's so much more that could be done with this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been squandering his potential forever. I mean, right after they had Undertaker lose to Brock Lesnar. And then Bray Wyatt went up against Undertaker and was like, oh, okay, great. Because then they're going to set up Bray as the next, This is the time.
Yeah.
This is great. This works out really well. And Undertaker won't look bad because, you know, could still be hurt from Lesnar. And no...
Great comment from Tim Smith in chat roll. Bray won twice. It's in two nights. It's a summer miracle.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Rollins and Wyatt feels right because I feel like they're two creatures with the same driving force inside of them. They want control, and I think Wyatt is better at being honest and open about his desire for complete control and dominance over everything. Mm-hmm. But Rollins isn't. So this is a case of one guy not being honest and the other guy, who is honest, being just that much better. Because he's honest about how bad he really is. So he'll take cheap shots. He'll go to the eye. Tonight he was a headbutt to the already injured orbital. Mm-hmm. And it was a smart move. It wasn't dirty tonight. That's clean pool still.
I mean, yeah.
You can headbutt a man in the face. It ain't great, but hey, it's clean enough.
And it's possible that one of the dreadlocks got inside of his eye as well. Which, absolutely. Technically, that's part of your body. You could use it.
His shirt's got a big squid on it. He looks like a big squid with all them dreadlocks.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
And he gets the win with the Sister Abigail. So, we mentioned earlier, if anything, this is elevating Bray Wyatt with Seth Rollins. Who knows? And then it's not over because after that, Bray Wyatt disappears, but the Miztourage shows up. They attack, but Dean Ambrose comes down. He has a change of heart, saves everyone with the chair, just nailing Miz with the chair.
Yes.
They run for the hills, and two-thirds of the Shields are in the ring.
I think that when Bray rolled under the ring during that video, the Bray video that they played, I think when they came back live, there was a kid in the front row going, he rolled under the ring.
It's like, I've seen what happens in real life.
That's all that happened.
That's it.
He didn't really disappear.
He wasn't there. The fact of the matter is, he wasn't in the ring when the Miztourage came.
Yeah.
He had to know. He had to have a tip-off, and that means he had to okay it. He had to agree to this happening, because you know when he's in the ring, that's his ring. None of those guys can step to him. They can try, but none of them can.
Or he just wanted to
leave. So they must have talked to him. No, when does he leave like that?
Yeah, good point.
Right.
Maybe his brother told him. His brother's in the...
I mean, they have...
They might have talked about it at breakfast this morning. Family breakfast.
Happened.
So, insider information.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Could Wyatt be part of the Miztourage now, is the question I'm asking.
No, they've already got it.
Oh, absolutely not. But
no, never say never.
Become the Miztourage.
No, they've already got one. They're fine. They don't need... Bray Wyatt is good standing alone, unless they want to put a family around him, do something
like
that.
Maybe he's got a new family. They're successful, and they're society's gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to fit in and take over, is by putting a facade, a nice clean facade on everything, but inside it's still all rotten.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as eventful as Raw was.
Yes.
That's not the end. The
no.
final.
We thought it was over.
And
no,
we're also not done
not.
Even after this. We got to talk about the big announcement. But Kurt Angle is on the phone. He says, neither one of us has anything to be ashamed of, and I hope you feel the same way about me. Whatever happens, happens. Let's tell the world next week. I love you.
Wow, I love you.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's Vince. Yeah. Maybe they were talking during those 11 years.
Could be.
Maybe they were having an affair.
Maybe it's Shane.
Maybe it's Shane.
There's known knowns and there's known unknowns. We know what we don't know. We don't know who he's talking to.
I know who it is. It's Daniel Bryan. The two GMs
of
SmackDown and Raw, and they love each other.
They both desperately want to wrestle again, but they can't.
But they can't.
And so they bond over that.
They do. They train together.
Yes.
You see like a slow-mo training montage of the two of them, and it's like epic and beautiful.
Yes.
And there's, I can't even argue against it. That's just perfect. As we listen to Trapped in the Closet. But we did skip over this because I want to save this to the very end. So, Kurt Angle brings out Brock Lesnar, and they have plenty to say. Roman Reigns interrupts him. And says he wants to be number one contender, to where Brock Lesnar says a word that had to be bleeped out, justifiably so. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the fact Samoa Joe hits the ring, or now, you give me the logic, because I don't see it. Roman Reigns loses the ambulance match.
Loses.
And then attempts murder with an ambulance.
Right.
Flees the scene of a crime. An additional felony.
And I think I'm the only one here that was on board with this Roman Reigns.
No. I am too. But as soon as he comes to the ring and starts backpedaling like crazy, going, that thing? Well, you guys did it. It's no worse than any of you guys did during the Attitude Era.
Instead of owning it, like being the big dog.
Be a man about it and say, yeah, I did it. That's what I'm willing to do. And I'm willing to do worse to get a title shot, so you might as well just give it to me.
That would have made more sense than what he did.
I would have loved that.
He should have said, it's my yard, and I can kill people in my yard if I want to.
Right.
Because my yard means it's my property. Oh. I own you.
But I don't think an ambulance is part of the yard.
And that's why it's illegal.
But for him to come down less than 24 hours later, even character-wise, and have the gall to be like, I should be number one contender. You know how I lost last night? Well, now I should be number one. What?
And also Joe, like, and I love Joe, I thought they had a cool match. But Joe was like, hey, you didn't beat me. You escaped from me. He said to Lesnar, it's like, no, he beat you, dude. He hit you with his finishing move, the F5, and he pinned you. Nothing suspicious happened. Heyman didn't interfere. He just beat you.
But at the same time, Joe was in control for 85% of that match, and I want to see it again. Because just the fact that Joe attacked to start before the bell even rang, and wow, it was just physical. It's like watching this match is like a dream match to call. And I thought the announcers did a great job, the commentators. That's like the kind of dream match you can call, because these guys are legitimately, you don't got to worry about story.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you don't got to advertise anything. You're just calling what you're seeing, and oh my God, I was like salivating. It was so good.
Yeah. It was short, which is fine for their first match, but when they eventually rematch, because I agree, I'd love to see it again too, ultimately. I hope they can even go longer, because it'd be fun to kind of blow that match out
a
little bit.
Absolutely, and you kind of wanted it tonight. You kind of did. When you saw Brock, and he was just like, it was a thin tether was keeping him off of just jumping on Samoa Joe, but it felt like for realsies. When he grabbed that mic, like, from Paul Heyman, I was just like, oh my God, he's speaking. This is happening.
You know, like, the Joe wasn't the original plan for that match, too, right? There was an injury, and then Joe ended up going in, and we forget now, because Joe did such an awesome job in the build to that match and fit so perfectly that we were finally going to get this dream match between them. So credit to Joe for just, like, killing it the last, like, 5-6 weeks,
when
right?
When Joe speaks, you believe him.
Yes.
Yes.
He speaks
yes.
from the heart, even tonight.
Yes.
He was the one with all of the knowledge, putting it together. He was the only honest person in that ring, really.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It's like Joe's a perfect example of all the guys who have come in after being elsewhere for most of their careers or all their careers. Every one of them have knocked it out of the park because they've been waiting for this opportunity. Anyone who's had to struggle for years and scratch and claw and fight your way to a position, no one's going to take it from you. If you're giving them that ball, you're like, I ain't dropping this ball. Come take it from me. I'm talking about Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, all those dudes. Maybe I'm missing a few. All those
Kevin
guys.
Owens. Kevin Owens. I was
Kevin
throwing
Owens.
There too.
All those guys. Who's been the top of the company? Every one of them have been the top of their position or the best performers, whether they might win titles, I don't know. But it's like, it's when you struggle for a while and you finally get an opportunity, you're like, well, guess what? I know what to do with this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Joe is exactly doing that.
I mean, I'll speak for other performers, but I am not an advocate for them. When somebody tells you you're not good enough...
Oh, it pisses you off, doesn't it?
It lights a fire under your ass.
Yeah.
And it makes you work incredibly hard. So all of those guys, at one time or another, were told, yeah, you're not good enough. You're not what we're looking
Every
for.
Every one of them were.
Every
yeah.
single mm-hmm. one of them.
I know so specifically a couple things that I've been told to some of them. I'm not going to say it on air, but some of the things they were told over the years, oh boy, That could crush some people.
And it's been told to me, too.
Yeah.
So what do? I do what they do. I work my ass off. And once I get an opportunity, I'm going to sink my claws and my teeth wherever else I got right into it. And I'm not letting go because my entire life has been to work and function in this capacity. Yeah. You work to the top. You don't work to the middle. You don't work to the bottom. You work to the absolute top no matter where you are.
Yep.
So these guys have been doing just that. So you take them from wherever they are and you insert them in, and they were made for it because that's the motivation that got them there.
And that's why Joe deserves to be where he's at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the eater of worlds. I totally believe it, and I want more of it.
I mean, just looking at him and Brock together, it should happen. It's the kind of match that no one ever thought would happen. When they got in the ring last night, you can forget about the name of the pay-per-view. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. To me, that felt like WrestleMania in that moment. When they got in the ring and they stared each other down. Well, I'm sorry, they didn't really, because Joe attacked. But my point is, when it first began, it felt like WrestleMania with those two, because you have just two lethal weapons facing off to where if things go wrong, they really could hurt each other.
I think Lesnar wants to fight Joe again because Joe took him as far as he could possibly go, literally to almost losing consciousness. His face at the end of that match, you can say whatever you want. He may have beat him, but he was that close to getting completely knocked out. That choke was in. This is a choke. There was no air going to him.
Lesnar's amazing.
He had a last ditch effort and all of his ability to pick that big ass man up, and he laid him down, and he got lucky.
Lesnar's absolutely—he was
incredible. He played a gunslinger's fight in that moment, and he won.
Mm-hmm.
But that was that close.
And you know what? And I bet because of that match, we might actually see Brock Lesnar a little bit more because now he knows where Joe is. He knows that Joe is spoiling for a fight, and Joe even brought up the point that he's barely around. So
yeah.
I think he might have gotten him in his ego a little bit. Maybe they, add a couple of appearances onto that contract so we can get some more. It's not just pay-per-view.
Let's just get a girl can dream.
I don't expect it at SummerSlam. I mean, tonight was starting to set up SummerSlam, right? I think my guess is that Roman wins next week.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And it's Roman and Lesnar at SummerSlam. Unless they go triple threat. But I'd be surprised if Joe and Lesnar was rematched at SummerSlam.
Roman should walk out and just grab Reigns right out of that ring, disqualification, and that's it. That's it. Joe wins.
Really quick, hold on, I missed it. Who should walk out?
Strowman.
That's the thing. Braun and Roman Reigns have such good chemistry. They can just destroy each other all the way till WrestleMania next year, and then who knows? Maybe we have a new Brothers of Destruction. I don't know.
It's such a classic story. It's the unstoppable force and the immovable object.
Yeah.
It's a tale as old as the business itself. So why shouldn't it just work? It just works. It's the chemistry of how the whole universe is shaped.
And Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar is money. Now, maybe this will be revisited if they decide to not do it for SummerSlam. But to me, people want to see it again. And do people want to see Roman Lesnar? I don't know. Maybe.
Vince McMahon does.
I guess. But Lesnar money, man. Lesnar and Joe, whew, man, when those two are in the ring at the same time, and you add Paul Heyman to the mix, that's three of the best in the world at what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Samoa Joe, the whole Fatal 5-Way thing, when that opportunity happened, you could tell he was just like, oh, y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know.
I didn't even think about him as the winner, and now I'm so glad. It's like, thank you. Mm-hmm. So glad. I wanted Bray Wyatt to win because we've already established I'm biased. So
no,
it's good. But yeah. But yeah, now he's got his own going on. But Samoa Joe, he's just this beautiful thing that's just been it's like this gift that's been given to us.
Yeah.
And I love everything that he has done this entire time. I love that he jumps out of the hammer space. I love the coquina clutch. I love that he's on the mic. I love that he was like, I'm just, joining you in your fantasy land when he was getting into the ring. It's like everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
He's a total package. He really is.
He is.
And he's done everything, so he knows exactly how to handle every single situation.
Yeah, like you said, it does feel like a gift because, having watched his career for so long, it's like you never think we're going to see this.
Right.
We never thought we were going to see Joe. It was like too long had passed, right? He was in ROH forever. He was in TNA forever.
Yeah.
And some of those years were great, like the Kurt Angle feud, and some of them not so great, right? They give him some weird gimmicks and stuff, and he I don't think he had fun with all that. And it lasted so long. It was like, we're never going to see him in WWE. We're never going to see him main eventing. He's never going to get that shot. And now here it is. And against Brock,
and
it's like you said, it's a gift and it's perfect.
And that's where you have to give credit to Triple H and anyone else that was instrumental in bringing these guys over. Because every single one of them has been probably way more successful than a lot of people thought they would.
Right.
Look at Bobby Roode. First off, the guy looks like he doesn't age. He's in ridiculous,
in amazing shape.
Yeah. Insane amazing. Shape.
Firsthand, the cameras don't do it justice. Mm. He's insane.
He legit is the face of NXT right now. Mm-hmm. You look at AJ Styles. My God, good luck finding a better performer than him.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You know, Aries, him and Neville, by far the best feud in 205 Live so far. Mm-hmm. And then Samoa Joe, who's, wow, just, he could be Lesnar, and maybe he will. I don't know.
He's the wrestler we need and we deserve.
Yeah. And then, of course, Kevin Owens just been knocking out of the park for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On Table for Three, Cornette pitched Lesnar against Joe in a submissions match to main event WrestleMania, which I think is a fun idea.
Wow.
Was before this match, though.
Was Cornette yelling when he said it?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Red face, bloody yelling.
He was cursing Vince Russo while he was saying it.
Yes.
I would imagine he would. Yes. As well as many.
That was a Table for Three against Vince Russo.
Yes, basically. Yes.
I need to watch
that. Oh, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the end of the show. We had a pretty good first night with this squad. Now, this is going to be the consistent squad going forward. Mm. Of course, we all lead very busy lives. We're not always going to be here every single week, but we're going to do our absolute best to keep it consistent. But that's a good thing about having friends. We have many friends who might jump in from time to time, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's always fun times. So, yeah. Mark Bidonica, put yourself over.
Hi, my name is Mark Bidonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. Make sure to watch all of our wrestling programming. We've got this on Monday, Tuesday Night SmackDown. Wednesday, we have our SmackDown After Show, as well as X-Pac 12360. And on Thursday, we have our Lucha Underground After Show. Make sure to check it out. Support all of our wrestling content, because you know what? It's pretty damn fun. Hobo's on the NXT show, too.
Yeah, did you, like, purposely omit the NXT After Show? That's on
first.
Wednesdays. We do it live right after the show.
I said it first.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Maybe I blacked out a little.
You did black out.
I got hit in the head a lot.
IPAs.
What?
Stop drinking such delicious IPAs.
Yeah. Good point.
Delicious.
Back to you, Johnny.
Markia.
Yes. Well, obviously, you can catch me here on Mondays. You catch me on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, on Tuesdays at 2:30. It is Marvel Movie News. This week, we will be talking Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. Because
that just happened. And, of course, the Inhumans trailer that dropped last week. So, yeah, we'll talk about that too, and all other things Marvel related. And yeah, you can get me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkiaMccarty. And Snapchat is Darth Thinmints. Darth is Invader. Thinmint says in Girl Scout cookies.
There we go. Mark Warzeka.
All my social is at markwarzeka.com. MarkWarzeka.com. That's how you spell my name. And next week, I'm going to go public. We have nothing to be ashamed of. I love you guys.
Oh. Wait, we're public right now.
What? Yeah, just went public.
This wasn't the rehearsal show?
The show's not over yet.
That's live.
No.
This is hot. This mic is hot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I regret a lot of what I've said here today.
Have you ever heard of Twitter? You could have done it there.
Hobo.
Anyway, at True Hobo on the Twitter, I do the NXT after show. Did Great Balls of Fire last night. You should probably watch that. It was a lot of fun. So Wednesday, NXT, been covering it for the last 4 years. I think we'll do it again this week. I think we have a guest on this week as well, so tune in for that. If you want to buy one of my shirts, because I am a professional wrestler, you go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. That's where you'll find my shirts. I am the Hobo.
There we go. I am at Jay Quasto, Chicago. This weekend, I'm at the Comedy Bar July 14th to 16th. If you're in Chicago, I'd love to see you. It's such a great place for comedy. Also, big news, the album is done, and this Wednesday, the pre-order link for iTunes will be dropping, and the official release date is August 2nd. So you have 3 weeks to pre-order the album and help me become number one on the iTunes comedy charts. I'm counting on y'all. I've been doing this show for 4 years. You know I love you. So I need you to spend that money, because it's going to be a great album. You're going to enjoy it. So guys, thank you so much for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.